Breakthrough.
Breakthrough. Amen.
Breakthrough. Amen. Plus, none of us need a breakthrough here. We're all up to date with it. And fine. What way, Edwin?
Yeah.
You've had a breakthrough. Praise God.
Amen.
Yeah, there's lots of people been praying for Edwin. He's not standing on his own.
Yeah.
And that's just what I meant to add on to Andy when he stood at the front. He's sharing what he wants to happen in his life.
Yeah.
And when it does happen, it blesses all of us then, because he shared it.
Right.
It's all our blessing.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Zina said to me yesterday, so what were you talking about in the van yesterday? You know, as you wandered along the road. It was a van that wandered. It was an old van that wandered. And I said, well, part of the conversation was, Andrew said to me, don't pussyfoot, be brutal with it, stamp on it and get it in gear. She says, what on earth are we talking about? I said, the clutch pedal. And you had to be brutal, and you had to stamp on it to get it down, and you get it in gear. It was one of them. And you know, when you took authority over it,
it worked.
It worked a dream. But the problem was when you got in your own car and you stamped on the, you know. But we had a breakthrough.
Amen.
But we weren't alone. We shouldn't be alone on our problems. I'm not saying you've got to share your utmost thoughts with somebody. But don't sit there thinking, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know where it's going to go. I love Paul. Paul in the Bible. Paul, he went through everything.
He did.
You know, I mean, if we went through half of what he went through, we'd be struggling. A quarter, a tenth.
Yeah.
I think he was whipped 5 times or something.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, we'll find out later. But it's not uncommon for Christians to pursue something that they truly believe God is God's will for their life. So we've all got, Andy's shared one today. Thank you, Andy, for that. He's shared some that that's what he wants, that's what he believes God wants in his life. Good at his job. The best at his job.
Amen.
Not just good at his job. Taking Daniel out driving.
Yeah.
Training driving. I said, I don't want you to just be a driver. You want to be one of the best drivers.
Amen.
That's what we should be aiming for, the best.
Yeah.
That's why I get on this case a bit and we have some nice arguments and I said, shut up, listen and do it. I don't want any feedback. And we've seen some improvement. We do a little score rating out of 10 every time we've gone out for a full ride. And I think we're getting close up to 8.5 now, aren't we? Oh, we're getting 8.5 now. We're getting there. And we're not ones to move goalposts. You know, we shan't say, well, out of 20 this time. Or out of 1,000. 2, like his brother said. He's going to drive correctly the first time out. So you all know that. So when Luke gets there, you can all ask. Did I set you up, Luke? Oh, sorry. So we've all got things that we're believing for that haven't happened yet, that we believe are God's will for our lives. And we find that him that's under our feet, that got mentioned on Wednesday, Satan has hindered it from coming to pass. He doesn't want you to have a breakthrough. He doesn't want you to have the breakthrough. He doesn't want you to flourish. He doesn't want you to thrive. He will do anything possible to prevent it.
He will.
Anything. And Ken's mentioned some of this. Little sneaky things that come in.
Yeah.
Just to get you down. Sneaky things. It's the little foxes. I think we listened to a tape, weren't we, about the little foxes the other day. So let's have a look in 1 Thessalonians. See if we can find it first, because I can't. It moves around my Bible. Been looking at them all morning, now we can't find them. Might was a different Bible, saying that. I know. That's where I'm going. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18. This is Paul. And verse 18. And he's trying to get to Thessalonica. It says, "Wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again." So that's twice. "But Satan hindered us."
Yeah.
And I thought, hang on, we mentioned this on Wednesday, that Satan, he can't be everywhere. Can't be everywhere. So I looked it up in my faithful Hebrew Greek. And it says here, back in the lexical aids, it says Satanas is Greek, a Greek form derived from the Aramaic. It means adversary. And then his second name came from a word Diabolos, which is devil. And then it does go on to say, "And can all these words can also be used as a collective word for evil spirits and devils." So it can be used as a collective word. That's what I was trying to get to, I couldn't find it. So if you see that in the word, it could mean a collective word. It could be collective. So it's not just the one who's on your back, it's one of his minions. Okay, because we talked a little bit about this on Wednesday. So it says, "But one of his minions hindered us." Hindered Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament.
Yeah.
So if they're hindering him, they're definitely going to try and hinder you from getting your breakthrough.
Yeah.
In chapter 3 and verse 5, he's also called the tempter.
Yeah.
Tempt you into things. Can be subtle. Get you tied up in doing something else that takes you away from what you should be doing.
Yeah.
So it can tempt you. And it also gave some cross reference as well for Romans 1:13. We can have a quick look there. Romans 1 and verse 13. It says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, even through the Greeks." I've read that many different versions today. It just says he was hindered. In one of the versions it does say that Satan stopped him. In one of the versions I've read today. Not in this one. Was it in yours? 15:22. Chapter 15. That's the trouble, you can't bring all the versions you've been looking at in a day. Yeah, it says, "For which cause I also have been much hindered from coming to you." Yeah, so he's been hindered. In whatever way he's been hindered. It can be a thing, a person, or an illness or whatever, but he's been hindered from going to do whatever he believes God wants them to do within that place. And soon as he covered most of the known Gentile world at that time. Paul tells us that it is possible for Satan to interfere or hinder our progress on that breakthrough. So it was hindering him, it could hinder us. The word hinder, it's to interrupt, to obstruct, to impede, to prevent from moving forward, to impose an obstacle, to render slow in motion. So it might, you might not be stopped in doing something, but you might get slowed down. An obstacle that just stops you. Just be prevented. There'll be lots of ways, but it hinders your progress. Hinders you. You read the word, and what do? Late at night, early in the morning, you fall asleep, don't you? Yeah, we've all done it. I have to try Jerry Seville's version. He stood on a bath. This preacher in America, and he stood on this bath, 1 foot on one side, 1 foot on the other, and he read his Bible out of that. And he said, "That keeps you awake." Says you fall, calamities. In the literal Greek, the word hindered was used to describe an impassable road. So it was impassable. You couldn't move. It stopped you. You'd been stopped. And practically, we've all got... we've all had experiences of this in a practical way. We've all had to take detours in cars or on one thing or another. It takes longer to get round. And you incur other delays on your way around. It slows us down. But it doesn't stop you completely. You know, detours on a motorway. You might have to go off a motorway. You might sit in long road traffic. But eventually you will get back to where you want to be. It will take you a lot longer. And it will slow your passage down. But you will get to your destination. You will get there. And same in the spirit world. We get slowed down. We get hindered. We get caught up in extra things. Don't mess it. Or you'll get caught up in something. Paul encounters such hindrances in his journeys that he was taking Jesus to the Gentiles. That was his purpose. That's what Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, and the story. And basically gave him the task, you take me and my word to the Gentiles. So let's have a look in 2 Corinthians. See, I knew I needed to be in Corinthians, Grace. I was just at the wrong time in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11. And this is Paul. Was known as Saul. He was brought up a Jew. He was taught by the best teacher around. And he persecuted Christians for a while until he had an encounter with Jesus, whereupon he changed his name, and he was just as zealous for Jesus as he was without him. So he took on this task, and this is what he encountered on his journeys. He tells us in verse 24 onwards. He says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one, because they believed if they had 40 strikes with a whip that they would kill them, so they only used to give them 39. But five times he was given the stripes. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Three times suffered shipwreck. Shipwreck once, but three times. A night and a day I had been in the deep. So it'd been a night and a day in the water. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen. So not only outsiders, but his own countrymen were after him as well. In perils by the heathen, in perils in the sea, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the... and in perils amongst false brethren. That's an interesting one. So Paul had it quite... had it quite rough. He knew what he was talking about when he was talking about hindrances. He knew all about them. Did he give up? No. He used every opportunity he was given. whilst in prison, he wrote encouraging letters to other Christians, which we can now read in here. When he was shipwrecked, he was giving advice how they could get to shore, because he'd been in contact with God. He could give them the information they needed, so they weren't, nobody was lost, we were told. To fulfill his God-given task, he kept in contact. Paul tells us that these forces, we're looking in the one we just looked at in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 18, that they turned up twice, not just once to hinder him, but they turned up again. Because he prayed, he got sorted out, and he's off again, and they're back again. So he had to stop and rethink the way he was going. But it didn't stop him. Didn't stop him. Nothing stops Mackenzie from finding out. If he wants to know, he's going to find out. He's persistent. He wants to know. He's been pointing at something down here, I don't know what, but he'll eventually go and show us what he was pointing at. And that's what we should be like. Ken mentioned it earlier, yeah, we should learn from them. No hindrances. I need to know about that, so I'm going to go and have a look at it. Just had a wash now. Remember that setbacks do not mean it's all over, or failures or defeats. It's not all over, it's just a setback. We want things, because we live in an instant society, so we want to do it once, and we want it to happen and be finished so we can get on with something else. But then we get a setback, so we have to recalculate. A bit like these GPS things you have with sat navs, when you go off course and they recalculating, you know, it sounds a bit stressed at times. I've used Andrew's once, and at times you can even hear in this artificial voice, like, come on, get it right first time. I really had enough. I really had it off route, recalculated. Come on, how many more times? But we've just got to stick in there with it. It's not all over. We've just got to go back, recalculate, and have another go. God, where did I go wrong? What do I need to do now? Let's get going. Amen. He's keeping in contact with head office.
Yeah.
Setbacks are not final. But we should be aware of what the enemy's up to. Let's have a look in 2 Corinthians 2. Just a few pages back. We should be aware, we shouldn't be. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So we don't need to be ignorant of his devices. He's the father of lies. He's the instigator of lies. That's what he is. He just lies. So if he tells you something is what it is, it'll be the opposite. So he can't do anything but lie. He says it will never come to pass. But fortunately, he never gets the final word. God gets the final word. He may make the word rough, he may make it cut channels in there, you might trip up once or twice, you might fall down, you might hurt yourself. But don't tip water around the electrics. Mm. Your eyes will light up. But God has the last word. And that last word is, you win. Andrew has said it. He's read the end of the book.
Amen.
And we're told that we win. Hallelujah. We're told that we win. Paul didn't give up. He was told certain things that happened to him. He said, no, I'm going through. God's given me a task to do. I'm going through to do it. Paul could have given up, though. He could have, quite easily. I think after shipwrecks and whippings and beatings, and it says somewhere else he was stoned. He was he knew times of plenty and he knew times of lack. So he said he'd been everywhere, done everything, and he didn't particularly want the T-shirt. But he didn't give up, he just went on. And in 2 Corinthians 1, so it's a verse 8, it got fairly serious. He says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our troubles which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength in so much that we despaired even of life." Despaired even of life, getting desperate then. But that changes everything, that just negates everything that's been said before it. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Oh dear me, it's got even worse. So it's not just like, oh, maybe we're going to lose life, it's sentence of death. And I've written down, oh, and we get our word verdict from their word. So the verdict was, it's all over, mate. It's finished. It's all over. But then he goes on to say in verse 9, that we should trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead.
Amen.
That's what they're saying. They're saying, it's all over. The verdict is, you're dead. It could have been the stoning, we don't know. It could have been something really critical. But he says, no, not trusting in me.
No.
Not trusting my friends that have come along with me.
No.
But I'm trusting in the God who raises the dead.
God.
So you can kill me if you like, but he's going to raise me back up because I've got some more work to do. Hallelujah. So verse 9 is showing that trust. Trust in him. Paul is saying the natural. Death is inevitable, but the situation hangs in God's hands, and I'm going to trust in his hands. And in verse 10, can't not read verse 10, who delivers us from such great death, and does deliver in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He just knows that you've given me this task to do, God, and I haven't finished it yet. I haven't been to the at that time the whole known Gentile world. I've got some places I haven't been to yet. You haven't been to Spain, I don't think, by this time, and other places, so he'd still got to go to them. So he knew that, well, I'm going to get there one way or another. So he just carried on. And we should be like this. We should be like Mackenzie. We should stick in there. We should be really, I'm going for it.
Amen.
I want to know what them flashing lights do over there. So I'm going to go and have a look. I'm going to go and fiddle with them. I'm going to find out. And I'll make sure my mum can't see me because I'll hide down here. It's alright, isn't it, Carol? Yeah, we've had two of the either way. Yeah. That we stick in there. I know what I've written here. And it says, and God did make a way for him, and he will make a way for you. For Paul says, and I can't find where this quote comes from. I know it's in the... It says, for Paul tells us to imitate him as he imitates Christ. I couldn't find it, I didn't have time. But he told us, imitate me. Read the word. I imitated Christ. So if you imitate me, you're imitating Christ.
Amen.
Imitate means... What's imitate mean, Luke?
Copy.
That's all it means. And we're in the world of copy and paste, aren't we? Every computer you go on, you're copying and pasting. And what do you get if you copy and paste something on a computer? What is the other one that you've just done? It's the what? It's the... No, it's the same as. It's exactly the same as. Identical. Isn't it?
Yeah.
In every way. It's identical. And you can have as many copies as you want. They're all the same. Everyone's identical. So copy Paul. He's a great one to copy. Read his exploits. I mean, he just set off on a journey and took lots of people with him and went for it because he knew God was with him. And if God says, I don't want you to go there, I want you to go there, or it was barred that way and it was opened that way, It's the door syndrome, isn't it? That door was shut, so he went that way. And everywhere he went, he left the church. I was reading it this morning. He got sidetracked to somewhere else, Colossae, I think it was. And while he was there, he founded a church.
Yeah.
As you do.
Yeah.
You know. We got sidetracked, ended up in Blackpool, and we founded a church. You know, we wouldn't do it, would we? But he did. You know, everywhere he went, my task is to found the church, to get some people in there, some who believe, and then they can start drawing it in. It's the seed syndrome that Ken was on about, the seeds being sown, and it will grow from there. Paul goes on to tell us that we are more than conquerors. We've heard this before, but I mean, a conqueror is good. If you conquer something, you've cracked it, you've done it, you're good at it. But if you're more than a conqueror, wow, more than a conqueror, you're more than victorious. I mean, victorious, you're a winner, so how can you be more? But that's what God is. He's just over abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. Romans, we've all been in Romans today, haven't we? Romans 8 and verse 37. This is Paul again. He said, yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us.
Yeah.
Through Jesus. We've got that victory through him, because we're imitating Christ. We've even been looking at the Spirit of Christ in Bible study on a Wednesday. He's just obedient. Well, we could put it, the greater one dwells in you.
Amen.
The greater dwells in you. The greater one. So the literal Greek on that one, for those Greek scholars, it says more than a match for any foe.
Yeah.
More than a match for any foe. So when you're told you can't, you say, but the word says I can.
Yeah.
When somebody says you never will, but the word says I will. I will.
Yeah.
Because I'm more than a conqueror, and I've got him that's dwelling in me is more than adequate for any foe.
Amen.
Amen. You might get hindered, but you will win if you refuse to quit and give up. You can quit, so there is that option. You can say, okay, I give up. But none of us have been there, have we, Graham? Yeah, I have as well. We've all been there. We've all said, that's enough. That's it, I quit, here's my letter, resignation, I'm going to do something else. And you know, it's funny, God always meets that need. He always sends someone along and said, you're doing a really good job, don't give in now. How did you know? That's God's being on the case again. Because
yeah.
God's not one to let you drown.
Yeah.
Not 2 Corinthians 4. Hallelujah. Something else we're told to do. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 9 says, for I think that God hath set forth as the apostle last as we were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. No, is it different than yours? Go on then. Yeah. And I've written down here, cast down but not cast out.
Yeah.
You might be cast down but you're not cast out.
Amen.
Basically. Depending which version you look at. Cast down. We all have days when we're, oh no. But we're still not out, are we? It doesn't change God. We might change. I would listen to Geraldine's pastor me bought me a present. She bought me some Jerry Seville CDs. Says these will bless you, and I'm just going to tell you something then. If we come back. So what is Paul trying to tell us today? Well, he's trying to tell us that we are superior to all that Satan's hindering forces.
Yeah.
We're superior to them.
Yeah.
We're superior because Jesus lives in us.
Amen.
His force is equal and better, well, not equal to, it's better than any foe that's around us.
Yeah.
What else is he trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us not to give up on your breakthrough. Don't give up on it. Don't give up. Look at Abraham. It took him 25 years before he came through.
Yeah.
Ooh, we don't want to wait that long, do we?
Yeah.
But if we have to, we have to. But your breakthrough will come.
Amen.
He's trying to tell us that if you refuse to give up, then God will reward you,
yeah,
your diligence and your faithfulness.
Amen.
Because as you are believing for whatever it is you're believing for, you are learning, you are maturing, you are continuing in God's word, you are blessing other people.
Yeah.
Somebody once told us, I think probably Bish, he said, if whatever's happening for you is not happening yet, get with somebody else and make theirs happen.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, get alongside somebody,
yeah,
and make theirs happen. And that's it, it's sowing a seed. Just get alongside. Make somebody else's dream happen. What can I do? Can I help you? It may just be that they're struggling to decorate the house. It may be a practical thing. They may just go and give them a brush. Give you a brush. And you can bless them that way. Maybe something like that. Maybe just as simple as that. But he's trying to say, don't give up on your diligence and your faithfulness. And I love this last quote we're going to go. It's in Isaiah. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Not 56, but 46. Isaiah 46, starting in verse 9. So we read this from the Amplified. It says, earnestly remember the former things which I did. This is God of old. For I am God, and there is no one else. I am God, and there is none like me.
Amen.
Sounds a bit boastful, this, but He's God.
Yeah.
He can be boastful.
Yeah.
He's created everything. There's none like me.
Yeah.
Declaring the end and the results from the beginning,
yeah,
and from ancient times the things that are not yet done.
Yeah.
Say, my counsel will stand,
will,
and I will do it. I'll do all my pleasure and purpose.
Yeah.
He will do all that is set down in here to do.
Amen.
He will do it all. He says in the King James, declaring the end from the beginning. So he knows the end.
Mm.
He knows how it's going to turn out in the end. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. So some things aren't done yet. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. He will do it. He will come through if you'll stick in there.
Amen.
And don't sink. There's that many of it on the end of a telephone. There's no need to sink. Just stick in there. Believe. Keep reading the word. And read about Paul.
Yeah.
Paul that went through so much.
Yeah.
He came out victorious. And we read, say he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And it's in there just to show us what he did. How prison couldn't stop him. He was converting people in prison. He had church in prison. Hallelujah. So nothing is impossible.
Amen.
To them that believe.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.